Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, I came back from Missoula with way more content than I could use for Wednesday's show as we were broadcasting live from the Farm Bureau Convention. So I've got some more highlights that I'm going to share coming up next hour, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, because I want to make sure that our friends in Plentywood and Wolf Point and Malta, Glendive, Lewistown, et cetera, that they get a chance to hear more of that coverage as well. But, yeah, here we are in this extra hour of Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Jump in on the conversation. I know we've got a very interesting guest coming up here around 8:20, but phone lines are open in the meantime. And then after that interview, we'll jump right back into your phone calls again as well. Socialized medicine. I was talking with our friend David Noble. And, you know, we covered a couple of woke updates of the week, covered a whole bunch of different topics. But this was a quote that I shared talking about healthcare, and it came from the Unleash Prosperity Hotline, which Stephen Moore, who was on the Trump 2016 economic team. He was a Wall Street Journal editorial board member prior to that. You probably see him all the time on Fox News or Fox Business. He was highlighting what he's calling an ode to socialism, a USA Today piece with this headline: Mamdani's victory fuels a movement. And it was talking about how Democrat socialist aligned candidates are stepping forward. And so it was basically cheerleading what he refers to as an ode to socialism. These far left socialist candidates across the country, like the Kami Mamdani, the mayor-elect in New York City. But the quote that he shared was from some 30-year-old socialist in Pennsylvania who was trying to explain why we need socialism. And I'll read the quote again. Some of you already heard this, but I'll read the quote again here. This 30-year-old socialist in Pennsylvania said, quote, "I definitely have a couple friends that are very against capitalism now and see it as a system that really isn't working, especially in like my field, which is healthcare, where capitalism is just not working." And then Stephen Moore just totally just nails it here. He says there is no industry in America further from free market capitalism than healthcare. But the story that I also wanted to share with David, and I'll share with you guys here as well, is this one. It came from LifeSite News. Here's the headline: lack of adequate health care pushing Canadians toward assisted suicide. Think about it. Canada already has a socialized medicine system. That's why so many Canadians end up having to come down to America to try to get some health care, is because they can't get it up there because socialism destroys everything it touches. That's how bad socialized medicine is in Canada, that Canadians are being pushed towards assisted suicide because the healthcare system up there is so bad. And this is what the Democrats want to bring even further into America with their Obamacare garbage. All right, back right after this.
Fox 2.
I'm Michelle Polino on Netflix. The Carmen Family Deaths, a true crime documentary, opening with the dramatic 2016 rescue at sea of Nathan Carmen, which led to a string of revelations about his mother's disappearance and ultimately his grandfather's murder years before.
I'm a private investigator.
Also on the streamer, season two of A Man on the Inside, the comedy series from Parks and Recreation vet Mike Schur stars Ted Danson as a retiree who gets a new gig as an undercover investigator. In this season, he infiltrates a liberal arts school. And the great British baking show Holidays, the iconic UK reality competition series, returns with its eighth holiday special. On Peacock, High Horse, The Black Cowboy, a three-part documentary about the history and legacy of black cowboys and their influence on American culture. And season 11 of Southern Charm, the Bravo reality series, revolving around the lives of socialites in Charleston, South Carolina. That's Fox Tube on Fox News.
Securing America.
The Coast Guard honoring the crew of the Cutter Stone Wednesday for a recent series of interdictions which resulted in the seizure of tens of thousands of pounds of cocaine worth over $360 million. Coast Guard Vice Admiral Nathan Moore.
It represents a tangible victory in our ongoing fight against transnational criminal organizations and narco-terrorism.
The Vice Admiral says the Coast Guard intercepted over 500,000 pounds of cocaine in fiscal year 2025.
That amount equates to approximately 193 million potential lethal doses.
DEA Administrator Terrence Cole says efforts like this save lives.
This is how we protect our country against these designated terrorist organizations.
Vice Admiral Moore says the message to the cartels is simple.
We own the sea, not you.
Kevin Retzke, Fox News.
Join us at Canans for an exclusive.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's jump right into the phone calls here. What do you want to talk about on this Thursday, Montana Talks? Give us a call, 406-294-0970. Looks like we've got a caller already on the phone lines. We've got Colin in Bozeman listening to 1450 KMMS. Colin, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Aaron, good morning. I hope everybody's doing well out there in Montana. Thanks for doing your show. We love it. Quick update on what I would call the conservative movement over here in Bozeman. We finally got the RV homeless out of Bozeman. If you remember, over the past 5 to 6 years, we've had a inundation of people living in their campers along the streets here, and they're gone. And I thought that you'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of those news stories, and it's great news. And thankfully, I mean, all the attention that folks like you have given to it, our show has given to that issue, yeah, it finally forced the local officials into taking action. Because it was just crazy. I mean, just for our listeners right now that are in Great Falls or Kalispell or Billings, describe how bad the transient situation actually got in Bozeman.
So one time, Aaron, we had 250 homeless RVs living on our streets in and around Bozeman, various different camps and places. A couple of us got in a lawsuit with the city. I'm not going to get into the names of that, but some big names, not that I'm one of them, but nonetheless, really pushed hard on this whole thing. And how the whole thing went down, as a quick recap, was we had existing laws in force before this whole thing started back in 2019, and the city allowed it to just completely metastasize and get really bad. Then they changed the law and allowed it to happen and gave them all permits, and now they have gone back and basically gone back to the original law saying you can't camp in the right of way on the streets. And did a flight the other day, got up in the air, and I looked around and thought, oh, my gosh, they are gone. And hallelujah.
Yeah, it was crazy because I remember driving around, like, close by the Costco, for example, and some of those newer, you know, homes kind of behind the Costco. And you drive around a corner, it's like all of a sudden it was like, holy cow, is this Woodstock? What is going on here? There were just encampments everywhere, and then there'd be piles of trash and all sorts of issues. And I know that there were some good people who were in a tough situation that were also camped out there. I get that, but we also saw a whole host of other problems from some bad actors that were in those encampments as well. And one of the big names, of course, Dane Fletcher, who's got the Pit Gym in Bozeman. He's the former NFL football player, an MSU Bobcat great. I mean, he has done such a great job of speaking out on that issue and so many others. I mean, it got to the point where kids didn't even feel safe enough to walk to his facility after school. You know, they couldn't even walk home from school because of the safety issues, because of the transients and the illegal aliens and more.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, the one where he was at was over off of what they call Davis Lane here. And, you know, what was truly amazing is you had these apartments that people were paying, you know, probably north of $2,000 a month for, and they're looking out on a homeless RV camp. And I just could not believe it. I couldn't believe it lasted as long as it did. But like I said, just from a standpoint of your show, a great win for us over here.
Yeah, that's huge. Hey, can I get your take on another story? Did you see, I got a message on X from Scott C., and he shared a story with me. It was a KBZK TV story, and this is really interesting. So basically, it was the story of this woman in Belgrade who had robbed, she was shoplifting from the Albertsons store in Belgrade. She had stolen over $4,000 worth of stuff from the Albertsons. And it used to be that these shoplifters could get away with it. Thankfully, the legislature has now tightened down on those laws and actually allowing for some actual punishment to finally take place. And so apparently some of the shoplifters are now getting caught by surprise because they were used to just getting away with it for all those years.
That's amazing. You know, we have not been in town for a little while, been traveling down in the Southwest, so I didn't hear about that, unfortunately. But, you know, going the way of California in that case, in my opinion, and look what it's done to them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about the people that are spending $2,000 for a small apartment just to overlook a transient encampment. It's like, you know, some of these people probably left San Francisco just to feel like they were stuck in San Francisco all over again.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I've got a longtime dear friend in Grants Pass, Oregon, and that's where this whole thing kind of started some years ago. And I don't know where they're at with the whole thing now over there. But of course, you know, that case went to the Supreme Court, and it got, you know, got real fun over there for them. They couldn't even go to the parks. They were having to sift through the hypodermic needles in the parks in Grants Pass.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sounds like Missoula. Well, that's a reminder, too. Remember, it took a United States Supreme Court case also here. And remember, Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson helped lead the charge in that case out of Oregon. Where, and remember, you know, liberal city commissioners in Bozeman were trying to hide behind that and say, well, we can't change anything. And they were, I think, if I remember right, they were even critical of Attorney General Austin Knutson for fighting for the people of Bozeman in that case. And thankfully, A.G. Knutson won.
Yeah.
Thankfully, A.G. Knutson won. We, the people of Montana, won. And now your streets are cleaned up as a result. Hey, Colin, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Sounds like you got some cute kids in the car in the background there. Drive safe. Thanks so much for calling in. Great to hear from you. Yeah, that story about the shoplifter in Belgrade getting arrested, great story. I'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But first, we've got a great guest coming up right after this.
Donald Trump's America.
Saudi Arabia was named a major non-NATO ally of the United States during a two-day visit by the country's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who also signed a major defense partnership pact with President Trump.
That happens seldom, very seldom, if at all. So I just want to congratulate you on that. That's a sign of trust.
The president is signing off on the sale of new generation F-35 jets for Saudi Arabia.
The partnership between our two nations is among the most consequential in the entire world, and together the Crown Prince and I are making an alliance stronger and more powerful than it's ever been before.
Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince is pledging at least $1 trillion worth of investments in the U.S., and the two nations are partnering to build a nuclear power infrastructure in Saudi Arabia. Long term, President Trump is pushing for Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords, formalizing ties with Israel. At the White House, Jerry Halpern, Fox News.
Fox on Zap.
There will soon be no more Facebook for teenagers down under. Needing to comply with a new law in Australia banning teens from social media, Meta will start deleting accounts across Facebook, Instagram, and Threads come December. Email notifications are already being sent out to teen account holders in Australia. Starting December 4th, those accounts will be deactivated. Any new accounts created by anyone determined to be under 16 will be blocked. And by December 10th, no young teen or child in Oz will be on Meta platforms. Australian lawmakers say their teen social media ban is one of the most wide-reaching in the world, saying the online spaces are just not safe for younger teens and kids, and social networks violating the law could be fined tens of millions of dollars. Meta will allow teen account holders to get a notice for when they reach their 16th birthday so they can use the platforms again. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Thank you for...
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest now with us here on Montana Talks, and then coming up after the next break, we'll open up the phone lines for you once again. By the way, what a great caller out of Bozeman that just called into the show. Great information. Great to hear that call from Colin and Bozeman. You'll have to call into the show more often. Really appreciated that. Now we've got John Hartley on the phone lines with us here. John Hartley is a policy fellow at the Hoover Institution. He's an economist specializing in finance, labor, economics, and macroeconomics. And boy, I'll tell you what, he's got incredible background. Goldman Sachs. He's even had roles across some major economic institutions like the World Bank, the IMF, several Federal Reserve banks, et cetera, and recognized with honors like the Forbes 30 Under 30. John, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for freeing up some time for us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Awesome to be here.
Yeah, well, first off, your read on the economic news that just came out, wages outpacing inflation, the jobs numbers came out even better than they expected, and I heard about that one from the New York Times, of all places.
Yeah, no, it's great news, and the jobs report, the non-farm payrolls, they came in at 119,000, it's better than expected. Remember, we didn't get, we hadn't gotten data for the past 2 months because of the shutdown, government shutdown, because, the Democrats in Congress didn't want to pass a clean, continuing resolution. And so now we're finally, we're catching up on this data from a couple months ago, and we're learning that, in fact, it wasn't as bad as many people thought. And I think that sort of paints a broader picture about what's going on in terms of economic growth. The second quarter, for the second quarter of this year, we got a real GDP growth number of 3.8%, which is phenomenal compared to the 2% or sub 2% average that we saw in much of the 2010s. The GDP now forecasts, which are essentially forecasts that come out of the Atlanta Fed, are predicting a third quarter real GDP number of 4.1%. And so, what's really going on is I think a couple of things. One, we're living through this incredible AI CapEx boom, this incredible productivity boom, with all this generative AI tools that are being built out. We can all use these. There's free versions of these large language models that can help us do a lot of our tasks more quickly. I think a lot of the evidence, including some of the research that I've conducted with my co-authors, suggests that that these tools are really helping us. They're not replacing our jobs, but they're helping us get things done more quickly, which I think is good for many, many people. And that's being borne out of the productivity numbers. And then on top of that, you factor in the president's pro-growth agenda, both on the deregulatory side that the administration has began at the beginning of this year in undoing a lot of the regulations from the Biden era, from other Democratic administrations. And then you also factor in the One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed in July of this year, that had many pro-growth elements to it, chiefly, full expensing for capital and plant equipment, R&D, and making that permanent in the tax cut. So it was actually, some of these provisions were started by the first Trump tax cut bill in 2017, and now these things are being extended and made permanent. On top of that, they also made structures, so like buildings, spending on buildings, that's now can be fully expensed in tax. So what all that policy is doing is incentivizing more investment from firms in things like property, plant, equipment, R&D. And what does that mean? It means more jobs. It means higher paychecks, more growth. And so that's all a very good thing. And I think you're starting to see some of that manifest now in the economic data as well. So I think all this paints, I think, a very positive picture. Inflation's been falling. It was around 8% at the peak in the Biden years. It's now around 3%, down to 3%. But I think we're entering this this new golden era, which I think many are calling. calling it. I think that's, you know, especially given you look at these real GDP growth numbers that are near 4%, if she'd asked many economists even just a few years ago, I think that they would laugh at the idea or think it would be impossible that, you know, you could have a few, even a few quarters, subsequent quarters of around 4% GDP growth, and that's what we're seeing.
It's remarkable when you look at everything President Trump has accomplished, and really the Republican Congress as well, in the first 11 months roughly here. You know, yeah, here we are, yeah, November 20th, you know, inauguration back on January 20th, so not even a full 11 months in all reality. But you know, the jobs up, wages outpacing inflation. He is just getting started, and the impacts of the One Big Beautiful Bill, a lot of the beneficial economic impacts, we won't even see until next January.
Absolutely. And it keeps coming, and we're just you know, starting to understand you know, the president and his team that they're trying to put together what the policy agenda for next year is going to look like. A lot of people are very excited to hear what that will look like. The president's also selecting a new chair of the Federal Reserve that we'll hear we'll be hearing about that decision, I think, in the coming months. And you know, it's such an important decision when it comes to, you know, controlling inflation. I think the Powell Fed was late to raise interest rates to respond to the inflationary hike of a jump in 2021. So we need someone at the Fed who can keep prices stable and keep prices low. And I think our next Federal Reserve chair will do that. And then, you know, I think what's also important to remember is, you know, really, you know, the congressional midterms are next year. And, you know, to continue this pace of sort of pro-growth policy, you know, it's really essential to keep, you know, Republicans in Congress. And without the House, without the Senate, it's almost impossible to keep legislating, you know, new bills, reconciliation bills that are pro-growth, like, you know, One Big Beautiful Bill. So, you know, the midterms are going to be a hugely a critical moment, and you know, it's important, I think, for voters to know that you know, if they like these sorts of pro-growth policies, that it's important that that we continue to elect Republicans to Congress.
Yeah, and of course the Western Congressional District here in Montana, Democrats gerrymandered that seat. Thankfully, we've got a strong congressman in Ryan Zinke who will repel them once again. But nonetheless, we've got to stay focused. Got to continue to support that effort, because the Democrats are going to try to throw a bunch of out-of-state money in to influence that race, nonetheless, and try to put Democrats back in control of the House. Looking back at the Ronald Reagan 80s, you know, Ronald Reagan, like Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan inherited a host of problems, inflation, et cetera, from Jimmy Carter. And, man, Biden's been like, you know, Jimmy Carter on steroids. And so Donald Trump has this massive hole to dig the country out of. And so I understand folks' frustrations when they feel like, okay, has Trump stopped the bleeding when it comes to the affordability crisis created by Joe Biden, John Tester, and the Democrats? Yes, but how do you peel back just the massive price increases that have been baked into the cake? And the other thing I wonder is, you know, it took a lot of time for the Reagan recovery to start to show up, because he had to get the tax cuts in, and then it took a while for those to take effect, whereas this is going to be a little bit more immediate with the Trump's tax cuts made permanent and some of the new additions like no tax on tips, et cetera.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, you know, a number of these things will be immediate. And it's right, you know, in the sense that, you know, it does take time. You know, inflation's at 3%. And you know, which is a huge victory, in that it's down from 8%, you know, around the height of its peak during the Biden years, but it's got more room, it's got more room to fall. You know, the Fed's inflation target's 2%, I think at some level, if you look back to the 2010s when the Fed and other policymakers were complaining that inflation wasn't hitting 2%, was below 2%. You know, boy, wouldn't we love to have inflation that's even below 2% these days. So, you know, that all these things, they take time, and we need, you know, good leadership at the Fed that's focused on delivering, you know, low and stable prices. And I think that's what the president's Federal Reserve nominee will give us.
Yeah, speaking of the Fed, John Hartley with the Hoover Institution. We got just about a minute or two to go here. I also wonder if once President Trump gets some better folks on the Federal Reserve by come this next spring, and hopefully we see more reductions in the interest rates, I've got to think that that's going to be a big boost to the economy heading into the midterms as well.
Absolutely. And I think, there's some debate within the Fed right now about the future path of interest rates. I do expect that there will be more cuts by certainly the end of 2026. There's questions right now about what the Fed's going to do at its next meeting, which is in December. There's been, if you look at from the last meeting, the decision there, there's a bit of dissent on both sides. And people suggested raising interest rates. Some people, largely President Trump's nominees, were in favor of further rate cuts. And I think, we are at a place where, inflation is much more stable now. And this was after finally, the Powell Fed raised interest rates years ago when inflation was very high. So I think there is room to cut. There will be room to cut in the next year. At least, and that will, I think, deliver further accommodation. But I think you're right in the sense that, we're only just beginning to feel the effects of the One Big Beautiful Bill and its pro-growth elements. And, perhaps even at the beginning of this AI CapEx boom, which, think about it, it's not just, a tech industry win. An energy renaissance, an energy boom. You need lots of energy, to train these AI models. You need all these data centers.
Unleashing American energy. Unleashing American energy is so great for Montana because that's what we've got the incredible potential for right here in our backyard. John Hartley with the Hoover Institution. Great to have you on the program. I just signed up for your daily alert on the Hoover Institution.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, so today we've got our friend Finley Warden back in the house. Finley, if you guys don't remember, he's going to be our guest producer over the next few days. Caden Bjornstedt is enjoying some well-deserved days off, working early mornings, working hard for the program here. So glad he gets to enjoy a few days off here. But we've got our friend Finley Warden back in the house. And if you guys don't remember, he's the young man who joined us on this show. We did our show live from the Rockin' R in Bozeman the day after the Turning Point USA event. And then he joined us the last time he was filling in for Caden. That's when he broke the big news after he went undercover at the MFPE Teachers Union Conference here in Montana and exposed some of the woke, far-left, anti-American, radical LGBTQ propaganda that was being pushed at the Montana Teachers Union Conference by the Montana Federation of Public Employees. And, of course, that ended up making a ton of news, and he ended up getting, I think, even some national attention after breaking that story. Yeah, libs of TikTok highlighting the coverage as well. And then I think he sat down with the Montana Family Foundation for a podcast that they put together as well. Hey, but Finley, welcome back. Thanks for filling in for Caden and being back with us here to help out with the show.
Hey, Aaron, can you hear me okay?
I got you. Sounded good.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having me back. It's an incredible opportunity to be on your show as always, and I look forward to the next few days just being here.
What have you been up to over the past few weeks since the last time we had you on the show? What have been some of the news items that have been standing out to you? For our listeners who don't remember, Finley just barely turned 20 years old, and he's making waves here in Montana politics.
Yeah, well, I came on your show just pretty much days after I broke the story where I went undercover at the MFPE Teachers Union and just uncovered the horrible LGBTQ sexual inappropriate things and illegal things going on at that event. And I've been kind of dealing with the fallout from that. Lots of incredible positive responses from parents across the state. Some pushback from Democrat politicians, legislators in the state, and of course the union. But they have kind of backed off, and I don't think they're ready for the upcoming legislative session because they really have it coming for them. I don't think they'll be able to keep their accreditation anymore. I think they'll probably lose it this next legislative session.
Very interesting. Well, any reactions from you based on our previous conversation? We were just talking about the economy with John Hartley from the Manhattan Institute. I know you've especially got your finger on the pulse of what some of the younger Gen Z voters are thinking out there. Affordability is what everybody's trying to focus on right now. The Democrats are pretending to care about affordability after they destroyed the price of everything during the 4 years Joe Biden and John Tester were running this country into the ground. Do you think people are feeling, especially the young people, are they feeling some of the effects of the positive Trump economic gains? Or do you think that they're going to really need to see more of the effects into next year for it to truly have an impact, especially on the younger Gen Z voters?
I think we might be seeing just a start to it right now. But young people really, I don't think, have seen much of the effects. We just saw the Big Beautiful Bill go into place a few months ago. Some of the no tax on tips, things like that, that will help young people. But I think with the combination of the last 4 years of Biden and the time it will take for Trump to truly rebuild our economy, and also with the breaking of the Epstein file stories with Trump, Trump's approval rating among young people is pretty much at the lowest it's ever been at all time. I think with the combination of the Epstein file stories and just the continued kind of poor economic outlook, even though things are getting slightly better, it honestly kind of isn't looking very good right now.
With the young people in particular, it's interesting with regard to the Epstein story. So far, it appears like I think John Jackson and I agreed on this earlier in the week. I think that this whole thing is blowing up in the Democrats' faces right now. Hakeem Jeffries now, we're seeing some where his campaign team tried to arrange a fundraising dinner with Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives, and Jeffrey Epstein after it was already fully public news about, you know, the crimes that Jeffrey Epstein had committed. The Democrat Congresswoman the one out of the Virgin Islands, she was text messaging back and forth with Jeffrey Epstein. So it seems like the more these files come out, the more it is blowing up in the faces of the Democrats. So I feel like the Democrats walked right into the Trump trap. But I could see how all of these headlines over the past few months certainly frustrated a lot of younger voters in particular. They're saying, well, why not release the files? Why isn't he releasing these files? And then now that they're releasing the files, it's just blowing up in the Democrats' faces, it seems like, thus far.
Yeah, well, I think Democrats are significantly more implicated in the files than Republicans, obviously, especially with that story of the congresswoman who was literally texting with Epstein, coordinating during a congressional hearing. I mean, it doesn't get more blatant than that. And then the vote to oust her from her committees failed by just a few votes because basically the Uniparty came together on both sides of the aisle and basically said, yeah, we're going to protect her. She was close with Epstein. I think many of the current congresspeople we have, lots on the Democratic side, but also some on the Republican side as well. I think there's a great chance they could be implicated in these files, and they're scared right now. They're scared of what these files could do for them. They're scared what the electoral implications could be if they don't continue to push for the release. So I think it's bad news for the establishment. It's bad news if you're in the files. I think your time is running out.
Stacey Plaskett is her name. I was trying to think of that Democrat representative's name, Stacey Plaskett. Yeah, apparently Epstein owned two islands in the Virgin Islands. And so, Stacey Plaskett was very buddy-buddy with Jeffrey Epstein. Here she is trying to explain, I think this was on CNN, here she is on CNN trying to explain why she was text messaging Jeffrey Epstein in the middle of a congressional hearing while she is live on C-SPAN cameras.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information and I was gonna get information to get at the truth. Having a friendship with him is not something that I would deemed to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do, is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward.
Wait, let me just better understand that. What is that point? Because at the time, he was a known sex offender, and it had been detailed, all the sexual abuse.
There are a lot of people who have done a lot of crimes, and as a prosecutor, you get information from people where you can.
Oh, my goodness. Finley, I'm sure you snagged that audio for us earlier this morning, but here she is saying, there's a lot of people who've done a lot of crimes, as she's trying to explain away this close working relationship / friendship she had with Jeffrey Epstein. Give me a break.
Yeah, it cannot get worse than this. It's unbelievable that she would even say something like that. But she's from the Virgin Islands. I don't know about you. I don't really go any day in my life really thinking about the Virgin Islands. I don't think really any Americans do. But that's just evident of who Jeffrey Epstein was as a person. He wasn't just doing his crimes, and his crime network wasn't just in the United States. It spanned all across the world, all across all our different allies and adversaries. His massive ring of sex trafficking, young women and minors, it's something that is truly indicative of what the entrenched political establishment looks like. And that's why young people are so passionate about this issue, is because they see this establishment and they want to break through it. That's why Trump got elected in such a landslide this last year. And young people are really looking to kind of bring down the leadership that has perpetuated this kind of evil for so long.
I think, isn't it also a sign that Generation Z, and this was what Charlie Kirk was so great at, that Generation Z is moving away from this party, you know, this sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle that captured so much of the country, frankly, on the left and the right, where this, you know, so-called party lifestyle just became too much of a part of our culture.
I really think that's indicative of how demoralized young people are, specifically young men. They are faced with an economy where they just kind of don't have many prospects. Unless you're really well connected, it's home ownership. I think the average home buyer now is up. It's like 65 years old. It's just getting incredibly high, and young people are looking at this and just getting more and more demoralized. But I think there is hope with this Trump economy. Hopefully, it can improve, and we have 3 more years. So let's hope.
All right, I want to get Finley Warden's take on municipal election results here in Montana and how the liberal media is now bragging about the fact that Democrat candidates won these municipal elections, even though they tried to claim that this was nonpartisan races.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All these Democrats, they are actually on tape. And they are telling people in the intelligence community, they are telling people that are in our military not to obey unlawful orders, illegal orders of the president. Problem is, they don't identify what the hell they're talking about, because I don't think they can, and I don't think they have any intention to do so. But there's such great damage and danger in what it is that they are saying in this tape. It's almost like a subversion. It's almost like they're calling for insurrection among our intelligence community and people in our armed forces.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, and all the time I have been telling you about Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, I can honestly say I've never seen an offer like this before. Listen to this. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data with a 30-gig hotspot for just $29.95 a month for life. Friends, this is Pure Talk's top-tier plan. Normally $65 a month. Now, through December the 7th, just $29.95 a month, and you're saving over 50% a month every month for life. Now, remember, you get the same cell towers, same 5G network, pound 250, keyword save now,
Do it now. The best offer you will ever get on cell service. #250 Keyword save now from Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company.
Taxes and fees not included. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. Offer ends 12/7/25.
It's November 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Absurdity Day. No one really knows why today pays homage to the weird, odd, or absurd, but feel free to act a little outside the normal. History is riddled with people or events which were once thought of as absurd, which have now become reality, like space travel or flying. Did you know at one point in the history of the post office, you could actually mail a small child for as little as 15 cents? Insurance, of course, was optional. So go ahead, wear a sweater inside out, or say ahoy instead of hello. Also on this date, in 1789, New Jersey becomes the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. And in 1985, computer operating system Microsoft Windows 1.0 is launched. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first commissioner of baseball, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, born in 1866, and President Joe Biden, born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in 1942. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, great to get Finley Warden's take here on some of the news of the day. I'm going to have more of my Farm Bureau convention coverage from Missoula for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. And then once we get through some of that, I think we'll open up the phone lines again. If you got something you want to talk about, should be able to sneak in some of your calls later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Oh, I need to check the app messages coming in here as well. To see what we got coming in from you. Let's see. Lori in Billings says people won't see the good effects of the no taxes until they file their tax returns. It would have had a more positive impact if the taxes were not taken out of our pay in the first place, so we would have the money in our weekly budgets. Yeah, good point there on the economic impact. But, yeah, then what will be the impacts of the tax returns heading into next year, especially in the next spring? Good question. Good message, Lori. Thanks for that. Finley, I want to get your take on this. David Noble and I were able to chat about this earlier, but for those who missed it, there's a story in the liberal Montana Free Press. Candidates backed by donors that typically support Democrats will govern Montana's reddest cities. And David Noble made a great point here. Okay, here you go. The same media that refused to call these Democrat candidates Democrats are now openly bragging that Democrats essentially won these, you know, mayoral elections or some of these city council elections as well. Your thoughts, Finley?
I call this the biggest lie in Montana politics, that we have these so-called nonpartisan politicians, nonpartisan judges, nonpartisan school boards. But what really happens is Democrat money comes flooding in from all across the country, sometimes even from foreign countries, that gets poured into these races, and it turns into whoever can spend the most money ends up winning. So the this is the only way that Democrats can win in our red cities and across our state. This is why we have a Democrat-controlled Supreme Court. And worst of all, we do have an explicitly Republican legislature that ever since Gianforte has been elected, the governor has signaled that he would support an effort to get rid of this nonpartisan deal. He has signaled that he would support that, but our legislature has not been able to pass it, because whether you call it the dirty dozen in the House or the nasty nine in the Senate, they have repeatedly blocked efforts that would help their own Republican agenda. That's why these people really are not Republicans, Republicans in name only.
Yeah, I mean, two different key provisions to talk about here. One, allowing for free speech in our Supreme Court elections and allowing folks to run with party affiliation. You get a flood of out-of-state money that comes in from these Democrat mega donors and these dark money outfits, and then they prop up these far-left candidates and make them appear to be conservative. They pretend to be conservative, and in these so-called nonpartisan elections, this is how you have out-of-state money, Democrat Party mega donors dominating these elections. And yeah, same thing with some of these local elections as well. And meanwhile, Republicans oftentimes either A, don't get into the fight to begin with, or they get divided and split their vote amongst multiple candidates.
Yeah, I just remember back in 2022, I was I was out there vigorously door knocking for James Brown, who's now our commissioner of security and insurances. But he was running for Supreme Court against this just extreme far left radical judge. I don't even remember her name, but she sits on our Supreme Court now. And I just remember, I remember going door to door and seeing her literature also on people's doors. And it said she was the true conservative running to represent real Montanan values. So they just totally lie and flip reality on its head, pretending that these are the conservative candidates.
Wow, what a story there. Yeah, I remember that campaign. That was a far left Ingrid Gustafson. And yeah, they pretended in these commercials to be conservative and backed by dark money and Democrat out-of-state mega donors, the real copper kings of our time. All right, Finley, great to hear your thoughts. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to start with more highlights from the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula.
From the kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.